Good morning, everybody. It's great to be back here. I'd be grateful if we all turn back to Psalm 23. And as we do, my name is Nick, if I haven't met you. I'm typically over at St. James on a Sunday, but it's a privilege to come and join us here today as we think about this wonderful passage in Psalm 23. So how about we pray together and ask God to help us? And as we do, I'm going to read us some words from Mark chapter 6. Mark says, when Jesus went ashore, he saw a large crowd and had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And so we pray today, our loving Father, as we think about this familiar part of your word, we pray that you will teach us wonderful things about Jesus, who is our good shepherd, who has come to give his life for us. And so we pray and ask for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. There is an old, sad, but beautiful story of a shepherd boy who lived in the highlands of Scotland. His parents died when he was young, so he was sent to live with his grandfather. And his grandfather was a shepherd, so he became a shepherd. And this young boy couldn't read, and so his grandfather taught him certain Bible verses by using actions on his hand. And when he taught him Psalm 23, one word for each finger, he taught him, "The Lord is my shepherd." One day while that shepherd boy was out caring for his flock, a massive blizzard blew through and he didn't come home. And so the grandfather had to wait for the storm to pass till he could find him. And when that storm passed, his grandfather left, searched, and he found his grandson lying on the ground, frozen to death. And as he kneeled down, I'm sure full of grief, to pick up his grandson and take him home, as he dusted off snow, he saw that his grandson had died holding his fourth finger. And he thought, "The Lord is my shepherd." And I love that story because what that young shepherd boy grasped is one of the most beautiful things about Psalm 23, that it is the privilege of the Christian believer that they can say not just that God is a shepherd, but they can say the Lord is my shepherd. And Psalm 23 is a beautiful psalm. It's perhaps the most famous and most loved psalm. It's what Charles Spurgeon called the Pearl of Psalms, and it has been read at funerals, it's been shared by the hospital bed, it has been sung through tears to the tune of many hymns, it has been prayed by the deathbed, and it has been memorized and whispered in the darkest of nights. And yet Psalm 23 is not only for funerals, because this is a psalm about life. Life with the shepherd that we belong to. This is a psalm of David. He lived and breathed this psalm, and it is a very personal psalm. I wonder if we noticed all the language of I, me, my, and you, because the God that David is talking to is not a God who is distant and far off, but a God who is close and personal. But whilst this is a psalm about David, this is ultimately a psalm about the God who is David's shepherd. Shepherd, of course, is a big word that runs throughout the Bible, and it means much more than someone that just hangs around sheep. No, shepherd is a kingly word. We think of Moses, who was a shepherd who led God's people, and then we think of King David, David who was a shepherd, called to be the king, to rule and shepherd God's people. And then there is God himself, who says, "I myself will come and shepherd my people," which of course we see most fully when he comes into the world in the person of Jesus and he stands up and he says to the world, "I'm the good shepherd. I lay down my life for my sheep." This is a personal psalm about David, but ultimately this is a psalm that not only the Lord Jesus prayed and lived himself, but a psalm that is all about him. Jesus, our good shepherd, who shepherds us every day from the day that we first trust him to the day where we meet him. And Psalm 23 shows us what life is like when we belong to him. And when we do, we find that this psalm can become our psalm. And so what I want us to do for today as we think about Psalm 23 is see how our God shepherds and cares for us and what it really means to say that the Lord is my shepherd. And because Psalm 23 is so well known, I thought I might point out three things that are maybe not the main things of Psalm 23, but I think three things that will help us see how God shepherds us. And they go like this, 3 points. One, he stands before, verses 1 to 3. Two, he stands beside, verse 4. And third, he stands behind, verse 5 and 6. So firstly, verses 1 to 3, he stands before. Look with me at verse 1. David says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have what I need. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters." Just last month, I was on a train going through the north of England, and at one point I looked out the train window and I saw these long green fields of lush grass. And there in the fields were sheep walking and eating with not a care in the world. And it was completely serene, and it was probably the one day that the sun came out, but it was amazing. It was serene, and that's very much the picture that we see in verse 2 and 3 of sheep in a field, but not on their own, but with a shepherd who leads them and provides for them. And as David paints this scene, he paints it with language from the Old Testament. And you may want to jot some of these references down, but you may remember that in Exodus 3, God said to his people, "I am the capital L-O-R-D, Lord," which in our English Bibles is code for God's covenant name, his name of Yahweh, same as verse 1. And just like how the people of God came out of the Exodus and said in Deuteronomy 2, "We lack nothing, we have all that we need." Well, David says, verse 1, "I have all I need." And just like how in Exodus 15, God led and guided his people to holy dwellings or holy pastures, well, David says, verse 2, "He leads me." Now, why does David do this? Well, I think he does this because he's saying that what God did in saving his people from slavery in Egypt and leading them to life with him, that is exactly what he does for me. He goes before and he leads me into his salvation. So no wonder David says, verse 3, he renews my life. He restores me. He makes me new, all for his name's sake. Verse 3, for his reputation. And because of his salvation, David can say, verse 1, "I have all I need." That's maybe something which we would find very hard to say, because there are just so many things that we wish we had. And yet when, like David, we have this shepherd who goes before and who leads and who saves us, well, we can really say there is nothing else that we really need, because all we really need is him. And isn't that true for Jesus? Jesus, the perfect shepherd, who's gone before us and paid for all our failings, all our mistakes, and has gone through death and alive, he calls to us, "Follow me." There's a man called James Rebanks who has written a book called The Shepherd's Life. He's one of the last old school shepherds that are out there, and he says that people often think that sheep are very dumb, often getting lost, getting caught in things. But he points out that there's one way that sheep are particularly smart, and that is that when someone calls them, the only voice that they will follow is their shepherd's voice. And Jesus says, I know my sheep, and they know me, they know my voice, and they follow me. And that's how he shepherds us. He stands before us, and he calls to us, and we follow him into his salvation. So first, he goes before. Second, he stands beside. David says, verse 4, even when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Well, verse 4 is perhaps the most well-known verse in Psalm 23. It's where we get this phrase of the darkest valley, or as other translations say, or call it the valley of the shadow of death. It literally says, as I walk through death's shadow. And when we think about it, death really is the darkest valley. And all other valleys or hardships are really the result of death's shadow in our world. Our old prayer book says that in the midst of life, we are in death. And because of death, life is full of many valleys. And I don't need to say that to you, because we all know that. We all go through them. And that will be true for many of us here right now. And I wonder what that might be for you. A disappointment, a discouragement, a setback, or it could be an illness, a fear, an addiction, a diagnosis, a loneliness, a struggle in a marriage or in singleness, or it could be a loss of a friend, a spouse, a parent. We all go through valleys. And maybe you think no one else really knows, but someone does. Because David says, verse 4, even when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger, for you are with me. And I love that, because here David, he's not talking about the shepherd. Now in verse 4, he's talking to the shepherd, because he's beside him. Verse 4, you are with me. David Gibson is a man that's written a commentary on Psalm 23, and he points out that those four words, you are with me, really sum up the message of the whole Bible. We think of the garden back in creation, where God was with his people, but then sin came in and separated us from God, and God promised that one day he would come to be with his people. And of course, we think of our Lord Jesus, who came into the world to be God with us, who after he lived, died, rose, and ascended, he said, surely I am with you always. Jesus, who sent his Spirit so that he might be with you every day. And Jesus, who promises to one day to return so that he might be with us forever. You are with me. And they really have to be some of the most wonderful, loveliest words that you could ever say to God. Even in the darkest place, you are with me. And as he walks beside us, we'll see what's in his hands. End of verse 4. David says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. This shepherd's rod, it's what the shepherd would use to beat off wolves, and his staff is what he would use to bring back the wandering sheep. And David says, as I go through the valley, your protection and your correction, they keep me safe and they bring me back. Because in the valley, we're never alone. We all go through valleys. And one day, unless Jesus returns first, we'll all have to go through the darkest valley, the valley of death. And we'll all have to face it. whether it's in the hospital bed or somewhere else. But really, no Christian need fear the valley of death, because it was the Lord Jesus who went through the darkest valley, who lived his whole life under the shadow, not just of death, but the shadow of a cross. Jesus, who faced the black hole of death for us, so that for you and I, death might just be a shadow. And he went through the grave into life, so that you and I might go through too. There was once a girl in Colombia who was on her way home from school, and she was given a Gideon's Bible, the Bibles that are put in hospitals and hotels. And as she went home, she began to read it, and her father said to her, "That's a total waste of time." So he took it off her and put it in his top jacket pocket. That day he went to work in one of the mines. He was a miner, and whilst he was down in that mine, and he was one of 31 men, the whole mine shaft collapsed. And it took the rescuers a whole week to get in, and when they got in, they saw that all 31 men had died. And as they were beginning to carry the bodies out, they came to the father, and they saw the Bible in his top jacket pocket. And on the very last page, where there is outlined the steps of salvation, and there's a space where you can put your name to say that you've put your trust in Jesus, well, there on the very last page were 31 names. And there are 31 men who realized there is only one way safely through death, and that is only when Jesus is your shepherd. Jesus, the good shepherd, who lays down his life for his sheep, who goes with us always. Well, we all go through valleys, and isn't it possible, dear friends, that maybe God might lead you and I through a valley, not only to guard us from something worse, but also so that we will learn that even in the valley, even the darkest valley, that he is there because he stands beside you. Well, that's point two. Now, third and last, he stands behind. Well, verse 5, we leave the green grass and the valley and we come to a table. Now, I love a good feast around a table, and I don't know about you, but I actually rather to eat a home-cooked meal than to go out to a 5-star restaurant or something like that, because it is just so wonderful to be hosted, for someone to welcome you into their home, to cook for you, to feed you. It's a wonderful thing to be hosted, and yet that is what God does for David. He serves him, verse 5, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." His head is anointed, verse 5, a sign of his host's kindness, and his cup overflows, verse 5, a picture of great generosity. And so kind is this God who treats David that David says, verse 6, "Only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life." And that's the key word in verse 6, pursue. He doesn't just say that goodness and love will follow me. No, they pursue me. They chase me. They run after me. And we do whatever we can in life to pursue goodness and love. But here in verse 6, it's the goodness and love of God that pursues us. And we can somewhat think of goodness and faithful love like two sheepdogs chasing us through a field, but actually the picture is much more wonderful than that. Because goodness and faithful love are not only attributes of God, but they are really God himself. The God who is perfectly good, whose ways and plans are good, whose steadfast love is long, high, deep, wide, and wonderful, who stands behind us and runs after us, pursuing us, and pursuing us all the way home. Verse 6, David says, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live." Or perhaps better, as our footnote says, forever. And that's how Psalm 23 moves. It starts in a field, it moves through a valley, and it ends in eternity. It ends at home. Simon and Garfunkel wrote that song, Homeward Bound. And that is really what every believer is, homeward bound. Going home to a heavenly home. And when we're home, well, 1 second there with Jesus will make up for every valley that we've had to walk. No wonder Jesus says in John 10, "I give them eternal life. They will never perish, and no one will snatch them from my hand." And he will see us safely there as he stands behind us, pursuing us every day with his goodness and love. What a thought that we can somewhat look over our shoulder every day and see him standing there, running after us with goodness and love, seeing us home. Well, that is Psalm 23, and there is so much that we haven't touched on. And so I would just love to encourage us that it would be well worth going home and rereading Psalm 23, meditating on, and don't just do it today. Find a way to always do it, because Psalm 23 is a psalm about life. Life with the God who shepherds us. But as we close, it's worth asking, is Psalm 23 true for my life? And can I say with that young Scottish boy, the Lord is my shepherd? Or are we still lost trying to live life on our own? Because it's one thing to say he's a shepherd. It's another thing to say he's my shepherd, he's my Lord, he's my King, he runs my life. And maybe there's some of us here today and we know that Jesus is a shepherd. But he's not yet my shepherd. He's not yet my Lord. Well, wouldn't it be wonderful today, January 18th, 2026, if we finally made that step. We went home, we sat down, and in a way we said to him, "Lord Jesus, be my shepherd, be my Lord." And when we do, well, we find he stands before us and he calls to us, "Risen and reigning, follow me." He stands behind us every day, pursuing us, goodness and love. And even in the darkest valley, even the valley of death, he stands beside. Because when we are his, he is with us always. It's a wonderful thing to be a Christian. It's a wonderful thing to say with that young Scottish boy, "The Lord is my shepherd." Well, how about we pray together? We praise and thank you, our loving Father, for the Lord Jesus who came into the world to be the good shepherd and to lay his life down, take it up again, and to call us into life with him. And so we pray, as we've thought of these wonderful words from Psalm 23, we pray they would be true for us, and that every day we can see you, our God, who loves and cares for us. We pray that each day we would live in the light of him being before us, him being behind, and him standing beside. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.